to experiential marketing today.
Welcome to this episode of Experiential Marketing Today. Today we'll talk about the theory and practice of using experiences to engage audiences with the authentic nature of a brand or company. We believe that it may be the most powerful tool marketers have, but it's also something of a mystery. My name is Linda Benthal, and I'll be your host for this episode. Episode 4, Brand Ambassadors, a new way of looking at which roles are important in an organization. Just about every experiential marketing event involves people meeting people. Usually it's our target audience interacting with our paid representatives. Often, the people that staff these events and the training they receive are a last-minute consideration. However, they become the face and voice of the organization once a customer comes in. Let's join John Robertson and Todd Austin as they discuss the concept of brand ambassadors.
All right, John, so we're going to talk about this concept of a brand ambassador.
I think we should start by defining it.
That's a good idea.
What do we know about the definitions that are out there?
Well, what I've seen, there are lots of definitions of what a brand ambassador is, and they don't all seem to go together. So maybe we should talk about those first, because our audience may have seen some of those already. One of the first ones that you will see is some people define a brand ambassador as an unpaid volunteer fan or a citizen marketer. They almost exclude someone that you're paying. They say they are not qualified to be a brand ambassador.
I don't like that definition because I feel like those folks might not fit our brand model. They may not be immersed in the messaging or in the style guide of the brand.
And we sure don't have much control over what they're saying.
Correct.
Another one, another definition that we'll see out there sometimes is they'll use a celebrity, an endorsement, and define that person as a brand ambassador. So Michael Jordan might be considered a brand ambassador for Hanes.
Again, forgive me, I don't like that one because it's almost as though Michael Jordan's brand is competing with the brand that he's represented. He's not Hanes. He brings his own equity and awareness and values and definition to the equation with Hanes, but he's not Hanes. And so, again, I don't like that one either.
Yeah, there's value in be like Mike and wear Hanes, but you're right, they're not the same. Another one that you see almost as much as the other two is this trend of folks like Microsoft hiring college students to be a brand ambassador on campus and basically go around knocking doors and spreading the word about Microsoft products.
I think we're getting closer, but I still don't think we're there.
Another one that you'll see is sometimes an organization will define every employee worldwide as a brand ambassador. And there may be some truth in that, but when you see that online, when I've seen it online, it's usually just the word brand ambassador, and it doesn't carry with it any kind of mission or directive for what that means.
Right. There's no intention to it. There's no deliberateness to it.
How would you define a brand ambassador?
Well, as we talked about preparing for this episode, I think that it is someone who has to be appointed. And the reason that we like the word appointment is because they don't have to be paid. They can be a volunteer, but the company, the firm, the brand has to appoint them to represent the brand to the potential audience. And they have to be an ambassador that understands that this is like an official role that they take on. And I think in doing so, what they do is they bring the brand to life. They animate the brand.
I don't think there's any example of an ambassador in any other use of the word ambassador where that person hasn't been appointed by a king or a president or some official representative of government. So it doesn't make sense for a brand ambassador not to be appointed either.
So in summary, it's an appointed representative of your brand to your potential audience that animates or brings to life the brand.
Okay, so here's another question for you. Why should I care? What does it matter what I call someone? I mean, we used to call people employees, and then we got all touchy-feely and called them associates, and we've got other names for them too. Is this just another new name for employees?
Well, it's not. Because it is personalizing and animating and bringing the brand to life, this is a major touch point. You referenced an experience that you had with your grocery store. Talk about that for a moment.
Sure. This happened about a week ago. Let's just think about grocery stores for a second before I get into it, though. I mean, these guys spend, I don't know how many thousands of dollars every week in marketing and trying to get people into the stores. Just think about how much is spent on the Sunday circular that goes out with the newspaper. So they're very active marketers. And yet, my experience was, I get there, I get my groceries, I get ready to pay. And the lowest rung on the food chain in the grocery store, the person who's bagging my groceries, completely controls the experience I have with that store. If they do a lousy job, which this happened to me a week ago, they did a horrible job. That has more influence over my perception of that grocery store than all the money that was spent on getting me in through the doors. And it has more to do with whether I come back than any money they'll spend next week. That bagging clerk, you know, is an entry-level position for them and may be easy for them to ignore the training of, but it's the last interaction I have with an employee of that firm before I leave, and it's critical.
It's so interesting because some grocery stores like Publix have scripted their brand ambassadors, the folks who are ringing up and helping you to process your groceries at checkout. And what's interesting is those employees ask the question, did you find everything okay?
That's right.
And it is an open-ended question that's allowing you a chance for expressing either positively, yes, I found everything okay, or concern that you may have that otherwise they may not have provoked and asked for. But that's a scripted thing. It suggests that at that moment, that employee, that cashier, is much more important to the brand encounter than the manager is, than the buyer is who buys the grocery. They're really important. They're at the vortex of that touch point. The way they become an ambassador for your brand at that point is so critical.
And they have the power to completely undo everything you've spent money on in your marketing plan for the last year.
That's right. I think also I'm so impressed with the fast food restaurant Chick-fil-A. Whenever you say thank you to their employees, they always say, it's my pleasure. And again, that's a scripted response. It's almost out of fashion. It almost sounds old-fashioned and out of date, but it's such a warm expression. It's as though they're sincere, that it really was their pleasure to serve you. And again, it speaks to their culture and their brand and their core values.
So if we're translating this to why it should matter to me or to our audience, we'd say, when's the last time you thought about the entry-level positions in your organization and how much contact they have with your customers? What kind of training have you done for them? What is the interaction your customer has with your company like when they interface with these people? It can become very important when you think about it in those terms.
I agree. I also think we've got to encourage our audience to think about who are those people that are coming in contact with their audience on behalf of their firm. In an event situation, it could be the trade show booth staff. It could be the hired folks who are there handing out water or distributing coffee, as we've seen so many times. It could be, you know, someone who's in charge of an in-booth event, like the massage guy. But often these are the forgotten people, Todd, and they draw a distinctive contrast to me. We often, and we mean this with no disrespect, it is a term of endearment and a little bit of jargon for our industry. But this is not the booth babes or the booth hunks that are hired to just be there and to look pretty, even though they may have on a branded t-shirt. These are people who have a knowledge of what the brand represents and how we would like people to move through our event. They have a level of empowerment, and they may ask questions like the cashier does at Publix, did you find everything okay? Or they may close with some sort of very warm script like they do at Chick-fil-A, it's my pleasure. But there's something much more knowledgeable. Somehow the concept of just this kind of hired help, this paid gun, this booth babe or booth hunk, it really doesn't execute the brand. They're really not an ambassador. They're almost plastique. They're almost a figurine, if you will, that really doesn't know how to represent the brand. Do you have any other thoughts about that?
Only that it's interesting to me also that even if you know the Chick-fil-A person's it's my pleasure is scripted, it still makes an impact.
Sure it does.
Even if you can see right through it, it still makes an impact. It's so much better than the unscripted, untrained response.
And part of the reason why it makes an impact is because it's differentiated, which is part of what we have alluded to early on as a key attribute of good brand marketing. The reason we make a big deal out of it is the other fast food restaurants don't say, it's my pleasure.
Right.
Your grocery store did not say, did you find everything okay? The fact that it's differentiated makes it all the more clear. Well, if you were giving our audience some guidance strategically as to how they could implement a brand ambassador program and train their people to be more reflective of the brand, what would your advice be for them?
I think my first piece of advice would be look around and see who is doing this well now. I mean, we can learn from Chick-fil-A. We can learn from Publix. But Disney, an example we've used on this program several times, Disney does a great job of this. And their approach teaches us to switch our mental gears from business to theater. And that has a lot of implications. So when you go from looking at this as business to looking at it as theater, well, then you go from interviews to auditions. Your job is not to hire, it's to cast. It's to find people to play the role. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of approaching people than the way we've done it before. Now, anyone who comes in contact with our customer is on stage, and therefore the role becomes very important. So entry level takes on a new meaning this way.
So the marketing executive suddenly is placing themselves in the role of being the director, where they're taking the time to really do this exercise well. I love your thought of the audition. You know, our society is much more socialized and aware of auditions because of all of the reality shows that are on television that revolve around entertainment. But the reality, what you're pointing out is this is an expectation of how I want you to perform when you don the shirt of, when you become a cast member of our brand. I love that. And what I sense there is the wrong way is just to throw them the shirt and say to put on this shirt and your job is to hand out water and only one water bottle per person. And if you leave before 7, you don't get paid. That seems so mechanical to me. It seems so overbearing to me. Whereas the brand ambassador, the director approach in switching from business to theater says, hey, look, we're trying to make X, Y, and Z happen. And when someone comes to you, they'll be feeling this. And we need you to get them on track. And what you do is critical because it sets up for A, B, and C. Your job is not handing out water. Your job is to make them fall in love with us by the way in which you satisfy their need of the moment. You know, I think that's really important. I'm reminded, Todd, of an example. One of those rare occasions, because of a special deal, we got to stay at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas. I'm too cheap to stay there as a rule of thumb, although I would love to be able to afford their lavish level of service on a continual basis. But we were there in Las Vegas, and being such a prolific event city, no cab drivers were available. They were all taking people leaving their hotels at the same time. There was a long line. It was hot in the middle of the summer in Las Vegas. We were getting frustrated because obviously, we had flights to catch, and there was quite a lengthy line of guests who had checked out of the Four Seasons Hotel, but had not made it from their doorstep into the cab. And so I was so impressed that their employees not only came out and apologized and clearly said, all the cabs, we've made calls, all the cabs all over the city are out, we've even called limos, we'll get people here as quickly as we can. And then all of a sudden they disappeared. And the next sight we saw was people from all across the organization, from the office, from the catering department, all across the organization holding silver platters that had ice cold bottles of water on them.
Wow.
And that wasn't somebody who had been tagged with your job is to hand out water. That was somebody who said your job is the hospitality and the comfort of these guests. And that they leave the Four Seasons with a level of delight in their mind that they've been hosted like they never have before. They're standing out in the heat. They're uncomfortable. It's not our problem that the cabs are late, but it is our desire to set a standard of comfort and hospitality on behalf of the Four Seasons brand. It blew me away.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's not something that I've seen in other hotels that I've stayed in.
That's right. And sadly, because I'm too cheap, I might not ever experience it again. But for that moment, we talk about effective experiential marketing, Todd, being memorable. I will never forget the image of those team members, some of whom I had related to already at the front desk, holding a silver tray with ice water on it. They weren't a server. They weren't a waiter. They were team members holding a silver tray, pitching in for what needed to be done right at that moment. So I may never stay there again because I'm too cheap to be able to afford that level of service, but I'll always remember that staff, that team with those silver trays and that ice cold water there. My question for you is, how do we get people to be our brand ambassadors and to act this way?
Well, I think we continue the theme that we started with. If you are redefining what's important based on who comes in contact with your customer and saying, hey, they're on stage. Well, the next step is anyone that's on stage, let's treat like a star. It's hard to get a mental image of treating the bagging person, the person who bags my groceries, as a star. But that's really what we need to do here. So that carries with it a certain level of respect and this expectation of, hey, we're going to work hard, but we're going to play hard together too. The concept of a lot of rehearsals, which is a new way of thinking about training. If that grocery store had done a much better job of training those people like Publix does, my experience would have been a much better experience. And it brings to mind other concepts related to theater, like staging and costume, and then also planning and budgeting. But I think a big part of it is treating them with respect and then finding a way to make them fans of the brand themselves.
So let's summarize. These are not just organic fans or groupies of the brand. These are people that we've appointed, and we've appointed them with the very prestigious responsibility of being a personalized touch point for our brand with our audience. We've asked them to animate our brand, and we've not left what that experience is going to be to chance. We've scripted them. We've talked about expectations as it relates not so much to behavior, but more as it relates to outcomes.
Yes.
How we want that audience to feel, how we want the person who's touching, coming in contact with our brand to feel. In doing so, we rehearse, we practice, but we show that brand ambassador that we really value them. And we expose them to our product and service such that they become a fan on their own within the process. And that leads to a very positive encounter with the audience and the brand.
And the one thing that we left out was, if you treat people on stage as if they're stars, then you also have to be firm about getting them off the stage if the outcome is not what you want.
A big, giant hook.
Yeah, that's right.
Hook and remove them. I'm thinking about the old Gong Show. Let's get them off the stage if they're bombing, right?
Right.
But the point is, act swiftly because we have a standard for a brand. We would pull a marketing piece in print or in video if it didn't match the brand standard. And what you're suggesting is, similarly, we make adjustments if our people don't match the brand standard.
That's exactly right.
I like that.
That concludes this episode. We hope you pulled a nugget or two from today's discussion that you can use in your own experiential marketing program. You can find links to any of the resources mentioned in this episode in the show notes on our website. You'll also find a link to the full transcript of this program. These can be found at our website, www.experientialmarketingtoday.com. If you have questions or comments regarding something we've discussed, you can send those to us using the email address feedback@experientialmarketingtoday.com, or you can post comments on the website. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Experiential Marketing Today.